Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Today on CityCast Houston, scammers stay scamming in H-Town, but could their latest scheme be something that music-loving Houstonians need to keep an eye out for? Plus, a beloved Texas institution is declining, and measles cases, yes, I said measles, are on the rise. But why? Hey, Houston newsletter editor Brooke Lewis joins me to talk about the stories impacting H-Town this week. It's Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm Raheel Ramzanali, and here's what Houston's talking about. Hey, Brooke, happy Tuesday. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing, Raheel?
I'm doing great. I'm still recovering from the weekend. So I want to start with a question and a thought. And this might get my Texas membership canceled, but I was in San Antonio this weekend. I've been driving a lot in the last 3 weeks. San Antonio to Johnson City for the eclipse. I went back to San Antonio this weekend to go celebrate my birthday and my uncle's birthday with him in San Antonio. And here's my big take. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Buc-ee's is the worst now. There was a time, I know.
Raheel, you got to explain more because I think I'm already judging you by just that sentence alone.
Okay. There was a time when Buc-ee's was the best place for a road trip stop, right? Because you could get in, fill up your gas, get a snack, use a restroom in the cleanest restrooms, and they still have the cleanest restrooms, and be back on the road in like 10 minutes, okay? It was great. And now Buc-ee's is the worst because it takes just 10 minutes to get a spot to fill up your gas or find parking, which is another 10 minutes, it seems like. When you get inside the store, it's fine. They move really fast. They have a lot of checkouts. They have a lot of options, which is great. But it just takes forever to get in and out now. Like, it's a 30-minute pit stop.
Well, what's crazy is that it's not even peak travel time yet. It's not even summertime where Buc-ee's is crazy. So the fact that you're experiencing like that long of a wait when it's just, you know, spring travel, that is concerning. But I mean, maybe it's just because Buc-ee's is becoming less of a well-kept secret. I think it's just becoming more of a tourist trap.
Yeah, it really is a tourist trap. And to their credit, they are expanding every single location, right? They're adding another Buc-ee's to the Luling location. Like, it used to be one of the biggest ones, and they're adding another whole Buc-ee's next to it. So the construction is terrible, and that's on I-10 heading to San Antonio. It seems like they're expanding every single one. So credit to them for keeping up with demand. But until then, I'm not stopping at Buc-ee's. If I just need to do a road trip pit stop, right? Like, get in and get out. If I have time and my kids want to go in there and spend money, that's fine. We'll take the 20, 25 minutes, but gosh, it has become the worst. So I just want to start with that. And if you have a similar experience, you can message us with the contact info in our show notes. I put it on Twitter and people were agreeing with me. Overwhelmingly, yes.
Oh,
like
no.
It has become a bad experience now. So I don't feel as bad now.
I'm like, justice for Buc-ee's. What are we going to do? I love Buc-ee's. I don't know what's going to happen during my summer road trips. Am I going to stop? Am I not? I'm probably going to stop because honestly, I'd rather wait in a long line for a clean bathroom than one of those bad bathrooms on the way.
So. There you go. And that is worth every single second. So great point there. Hey, Brooke, let's get to our biggest stories to start the week. What do you got for me?
Yeah, so I have an update to this big story out of Houston Police Department. The investigators have wrapped up a review of the suspended cases. So just a reminder for people who have been following this, earlier this year, they found thousands of cases had been suspended at the Houston Police Department because of using a code in their system. A total of 264,000 cases were found. Initially, those cases were found because they were doing a review of suspended sexual assault cases, and they found that more than 4,000 had been suspended with that code. And now that they've completed their review of the sexual assault cases, just those, they haven't done the total amount because it's a large number. Mm-hmm. 34 charges were filed against 27 suspects. And of the cases, 3,462 have been cleared. There still are remaining cases under investigation, and any suspended cases will be reopened if additional evidence is provided. So that is, you know, I think a welcome update to people who have been following this, because it was such a crazy amount of cases that had been suspended. But they're still reviewing the 264,000 suspended cases. They've gotten through nearly 92,000, which is a big chunk. But they said that they're still reviewing about 10,000 remaining cases per week. So,
wow.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can maybe do a little bit of sigh of relief, but I still think there's a lot of questions around this review. And I know that the mayor's office had asked for an outside investigation of this. So I just think that there's still going to be things that pop up even after they've completed, the Houston Police Department has completed their review.
And that's the big thing here, right? When we saw this story, we wanted to know, hey, are they going to go investigate these cases that were incorrectly marked as suspended? And some of them were rightfully marked as suspended after this investigation and reopening the cases. But the ones that were found to have sufficient evidence or charges were going to be brought to them, like, that's good that 34 charges were filed against 27 suspects during the review, because that's what you want. You want justice, right? And there's still more than half left. As you mentioned, there's 264,000 suspended cases, 92,000 have been reviewed,
right,
and 10,000 per week will be reviewed. So this is going to be going on for at least a couple more months. And hopefully each case is reviewed correctly, and we find if justice is necessary to be served, it is served.
Yeah, I just hope that they're not rushing through reviewing the remaining cases, because I just think that if you are someone who went through a crime, small or large, you really want them to just do their due diligence in interviewing any suspects involved, crossing all their T's, dotting all their I's. And I know they have a team of people doing this. I just hope that they're really doing their due diligence, and so that Houstonians can rest easy knowing that these cases are being resolved correctly.
And learning from these mistakes is a big part of it as well. Chief Finner has said on Twitter that this is what progress looks like. And he said, we are learning from any past mistakes in our case management and review protocols and making corrections as this review process continues. And that is the biggest thing. They are also working with the DA's office, with the Forensic Science Center as well. They're having more meetings with them. And that's the biggest thing. Everyone needs to work together to make sure each case is reviewed correctly and justice is served where necessary. Okay, Brooke, I'm going to get to my biggest story of the week. And this comes from our friend Paul Cobbler at the Houston Landing. I didn't know this, okay? And he reminded me, early voting has now started for the May 4th countywide appraisal district elections. And there are several area local elections as well. Now, early election is going to run until April 30th for the May 4th election day. And one of the big races is the special election between State Rep Jarvis Johnson and emergency room nurse Molly Cook to fill the remaining 8 months of Houston Mayor John Whitmire's old State Senate District 15 term. And that race is also going to serve as a little benchmark for the May 28th Democratic primary runoff for that seat. So that is one thing to watch out for. Also, Harris County voters, along with Montgomery, Brazoria, and Fort Bend counties, also are being asked to elect 3 members to the county's appraisal boards, which is part of a controversial new election created by a state constitutional amendment, which was approved in November. So early voting is going on. I definitely wanted to bring that up because, Brooke, I know you and I were talking before the show today. We didn't know it started. So
right.
I know there are a lot of listeners are like, wait, what is happening? Look, every election is important. Okay. The smallest one to the biggest one. This is one I definitely want to bring to everyone's attention.
Yes. Adding it to my calendar now so I can get out and vote.
And if you want to find early voting poll locations for wherever you live, I've linked that in our show notes. And again, a big shout out to Paul Cobbler for reporting on this and for reminding me as well. Houston's original neighborhood downtown is for everyone, and it's popping. It's our open-hearted home for our biggest celebrations and our treasured hidden gems. From the world-class theater district to incredible green spaces like Discovery Green, downtown is the place to be. In fact, more people visited downtown Houston last year than the entire population of Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, and San Antonio combined. There's no better time to live downtown than now. From starter apartments to luxury lofts, everyone can take advantage of the arts, business, culture, entertainment, food, and recreation. Now, you might think of downtown as only the heartbeat of Houston's regional economy, which it is, but there's so much more to it, including free events throughout the week with Downtown Houston Plus. From the Market Square Park Farmers Market every Saturday to Yoga Flow every Wednesday, you can find something to do and eat and watch in downtown Houston. Learn more at downtownhouston.org. Downtown Houston, get energized and revived. Okay, Brooke, let's get to some rapid fire stories, and there are a lot of things we need to talk about. Let's start with sports first, because the Houston Texans are announcing their redesigned uniforms today, but they already leaked online, and fans are not happy with what the redesign looks like. The Texans started this redesign process about a couple of years ago, and they've met with fans, they've done hundreds of hours of research and redesigning and all this stuff, right? Now, the biggest redesign, it looks like it's some bull's horns on the shoulders because of Toro, who is, of course, the mascot for the Houston Texans. And the big one that everyone's talking about, the special city edition, it looks like the Houston Texans are embracing the Oilers blue, and they've launched a new color which looks just like the Oilers blue. It's called H-Town blue, and it has like an H in a script. The only way I can describe it is like a gang H, okay? Like, I don't know how else to describe it, but that is the big thing that everyone's talking about. Did you get a chance to see the leaked uniforms?
I did, because it is in Hey Houston, so make sure you're subscribed to Hey Houston newsletter. But I actually think that it looks pretty cool. Again, I'm not a huge football person, but I know, you know, the ties to the Oilers. And maybe people want the Texans to just like have their own blue, not taking the Oilers blue and calling it H-Town blue. I feel like there's enough blue shades of blue that maybe we could have done that. But the bull's horns, I'm like, I'm here for it. I don't really see a big problem.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to ask you, right? Because you are a fan of the team, but you're not a diehard where every single thing, you're like, I can't believe they did this. So I wanted to get your thoughts on this. My thing about this is the same thing. Like, can we just move on with the Oilers, please? Can we just do the deep steel blue that the Texans have? This city's fascination with the Oilers, a team that never won a championship, and I was around for the Oilers, so like, don't come at me with this, oh, you think sports started in 2002 when the Texans were announced. No, I was old enough to remember the Oilers. Look, I wasn't a diehard Oilers fan, right? I was more of an NBA fan, and the Houston Rockets, by the way, a team that won a championship, and that's why you should always want those mustard yellow uniforms. But this city's fascination with a team that has never won a championship is wild to me. They left you, okay? They're gone. Yeah. They're not part of the city anymore. Move on, like, embrace what you have, and that's the Houston Texans.
Yeah, and I think the Texans are creating such a cool legacy. So I just think they should just stand apart. They don't need the Oilers' legacy. And I think their legacy is honestly leaving a better taste in Houstonians' mouth than the Oilers. So I think they should just move forward. Embrace
Agreed.
The future.
Boom. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, my next story, Brooke, is one that I'm really confused about. And this comes from the Houston Press. I had no idea that cases of measles are rising across the United States. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 121 measles cases were recorded as of the second week of this month, over twice the number of total cases last year, which was at 58. Kristen Short, who is the Bureau Chief of Epidemiology at the city's health department, said that the reason we could be a hotbed for the virus is that because of the residents' mobility, we travel a lot, the constant influx of international travel, and also another trend is that vaccination rates are lower in the state. They're trending down, and the city is also going through that. So I wanted to bring this to everyone's attention because I didn't know measles was still a thing. I'll be honest with you. But that was the first thing. When I saw this story, I asked my wife, I was like, hey, both of the kids are vaccinated for this, right? And yes, we are. So I just wanted to bring this to everyone's case because children 5 and under tend to get this a lot more than other people.
Well, you probably didn't know it was the thing, Raheel, because it's the year 2024. I'm like, I don't think measles is just like a common thing, but it does worry me because I'm thinking like, man, we have to worry about COVID. We have to worry about the flu. We have to worry about just like the common cold. And now measles, apparently.
So roughly 47% of those infected are under 5 years old. And that is just so heartbreaking, right? Like, we have to protect our most vulnerable, which are the kids. And 65% of the hospitalizations in the United States linked to the virus are impacting kids 5 and under. So, you know, definitely be careful. And look, everyone, you make your own decision, but definitely something almost like a public health bulletin here for CityCast Houston. Be careful. Measles are on the rise.
Oh, that's really sad. Stay safe, guys.
And speaking of children, Brooke, did you know that STAR testing started last week and continues this week for students across our listening area? Did you know that?
I actually did, because I do have friends with kids, even though I don't. And honestly, I'm okay with it based on the way that they had to prep their kids for STAR testing.
Oh my God. I'm telling you, I've helped my third grader prep for the STAR test so much over the last couple of months. And shout out to her teachers for the last, you know, few months in school, prepping her and getting every student ready. And this question came to mind, okay? And I wanted to ask you about the STAR test. What grade do you think you could take the STAR test for and pass successfully without studying, right? Third grade, look, it's pretty easy. Fourth grade, fifth grade, pretty easy. And I started thinking about this as well. It's like, what grade will I fail? I think we'd be okay up to middle school, but high school, we're talking about algebra now. Do you remember anything from that?
Honestly, no. And I'm just thinking about middle school could even be questionable for me because of the math part. Like, I just, I was such a bad math student, you guys. I love reading and writing, but I was so bad at math and I needed all the help I could get. And it was like my mom basically coaching me through because she was a teacher. So I don't know. I don't know if I could confidently pass middle school. I was actually going to say fourth grade. I was going to say,
I think you can get that.
I'm confident that I could pass fourth grade because I taught fourth grade creative writing and I already know what they're going to have to do. So I feel confident fourth grade. Past that, I'm not too sure.
Okay, Brooke, I have an eighth grade math question. This is the first one of the STAR practice test online, which I'm so tired of that website because I've been on it so much. But here's the question. The Venn diagram shows a relationship among several sets of numbers. Rational numbers, integers, whole numbers, natural numbers. Where should the square root of 169 be placed in the Venn diagram? There's no way I know this one either.
I don't know. It's actually giving me like PTSD from taking the test when it was tax for me. Yeah. It's giving me PTSD.
So let us know which grade level you could pass in the STAR test with the info in our show notes. Contact us or message us on Instagram. I just wanted to bring that one to the table because you and I are so in trouble with the math part, but I think we would dominate reading and writing.
Oh yeah, we would kill it.
Yeah, that's our joint. Okay, Brooke, it's time for Only in H-Town, stories that are so wacky, so unique that they can only happen right here in H-Town because we hold it down. What do you got for us?
So I'm sure as some of you heard last week, there was a person that was impersonating a cop doing a traffic stop. This week, we have more people pretending to be cops through the Fort Bend County Sheriff's Office. So they are warning residents of a new federal jury duty scam where callers are impersonating cops. And they're basically calling Fort Bend residents and asking them for money to avoid an arrest. The scammers are pretending to be sheriff's deputies and claiming that residents need to pay fines for arrest warrants, citations, and ongoing legal disputes. I think the reason why they're getting away with this scam is that sometimes they're using the resident's full name, address, or other personal information to try to pose as sheriff's deputies. So just really be careful. There's a lot of similar scams like this going around, and they just are warning residents not to give out their personal information to these callers.
Yeah, and if you want more information on how to protect yourself from scams like these, we did an episode this year about that, and I'm linking that episode in our show notes, and it's a definite must listen. Share it to your friends and family, especially senior citizens, because they are taken advantage of with scams like these so much. And again, this is a big reminder. If you feel like you're being scammed or you feel like something is off, hang up the phone and then find the official number of, in this case, the Fort Bend County Sheriff's Office, and call them and ask them, be like, hey, I just got this call. Was it y'all? Because you have to do that, right? Like, don't trust anybody. It is scary out there. And as more information leaks online, as AI gets smarter, you just have to be careful and take that extra step. I know it's annoying, but please, please take it, because this is so scary.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I just don't get the obsession with people wanting to be cops this year. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Yeah, because it's the easiest source to trust, right? Like, you trust a cop right away, especially when they call you.
Yeah.
Okay, my only in H-Town story. Have you heard of artist Lay Fay?
I have.
Oh, you have? Okay, I didn't know about her, but I quickly learned about her because over the weekend, she was performing in town here at 7-3 Music Hall, and like normal fans, they showed up and they're like, cool, I want to see one of my favorite artists. But then when they started scanning their tickets in, over 300 fans were turned away. And this is so sad. You're like, wait, why? Well, because they had bought fake tickets off of resale sites. No.
Oh my gosh. No. It's terrible. It's terrible. There's all these, I feel like this is another similar scam happening. You know, people are spending their good hard-earned money to see a show that they are really excited about, and then it's a ticket that they can't even get in with.
So most of the resale sites have verified tickets. So make sure you buy verified tickets when you are purchasing concert tickets, sporting events, whatever it may be. So these fans bought these tickets, they show up and they're like, no, sorry, this ticket has already been scanned in. So they bought fake tickets, unfortunately. Now, I think they will be refunded because most of these sites have guarantees and they do protect the consumer. So hopefully they get their money back. But here's the cool part. Lay Fay started the concert late because she was working with the venue to open up some general release standing tickets for $90 for these fans so they can at least buy new tickets and get in. And that is really cool because she could have left them high and dry. Like, it's not her fault, right? She didn't do anything wrong here, but she did work with them and figure something out to get in so they can see her perform, which is really, really cool. So a bad story turns to a positive here.
No, that's awesome that she was allowing fans to buy other tickets, because it just seems like I just can't even imagine buying tickets, being excited, getting ready to go, and then figuring out, oh, I can't even use this ticket. So props to her, and hopefully less and less of these scams can stop popping up.
Yep. Shout out to Lay Fay and shout out to H-Town. I guess we just stay scamming, Brooke.
Yeah. What are we doing? Stay scamming. Our new logo.
Yeah, we stay scamming.
instead of the be someone sign. Terrible.
Brooke, that was a lot of fun. Thank you so much. And here's to a great week.
Yes, have a great week.
That was Brooke Lewis. Be sure to subscribe to Hey Houston with the info in our show notes. And while you're there, you'll find all of the stories discussed on today's episode. That will do it for today. Thank you for listening, and I hope you learned something new. Don't use that as a blooper, Carly.
She probably will.